Running late to a meeting, Craig Barnes was rushing across the church parking lot. And while looking down at his watch, seeing how many minutes he was behind, he noticed out of the corner of his eye the man walking through the neighborhood that surrounded the church. And he had seen him before, but most of the time in the past, his wife had been walking with him. But he noticed that his wife was not there on that afternoon. He scurried across the parking lot, but in the back of his mind, he kept seeing the man holding a leash in one hand and a cane in the other. He had never met the man before, but he knew about where in the neighborhood that he lived. In fact, as he ran towards the door of the church, he crossed the man's path directly and sort of in a quick way said, "How are you?" barely looking in his direction as he opened the door and scooted into the building towards his meeting. And when he finally sat down in the meeting, he realized he had a choice. He could have stopped and introduced himself and asked about the man's wife, or he could have chosen to rush into the meeting. And sitting there in the conference room, he had that nagging feeling of regret. A few weeks later, as he was leaving another meeting at the church, he looked across the church parking lot and there was the man again. This time, he walked directly over to him about 20 yards. He introduced himself and he asked about the man's wife. She had passed away recently. He said it had been very difficult, but he was doing fairly well. It had helped a great deal to take a walk each and every afternoon, getting out in the neighborhood. And then, in a lull in the middle of the conversation, the man said, "I've never really been a church-going kind of guy, and I guess it would be hypocritical to start now. But I cannot tell you what a comfort it is to live near to people who believe in things like heaven." To say the least, Barnes left that conversation with a great deal to think about. It had reminded him of the importance of the church. Perhaps even to those who never walked through the door. And it also reminded him of the importance of those kinds of interruptions, of taking the time that is necessary to stop for those conversations that can surprise us. The delays and detours of our lives can cause such frustration that we are already on our way to the next thing when we are stopped in our tracks. They feel more like barriers than they do opportunities, even though they can yield such discovery. When the people of God were taken from their homes and forced to live in exile, it was such a disruption in their lives, a grand interruption. But the prophet Jeremiah kept urging them to love the place where you live in the given moment, to embrace where you are. And then when they finally returned home, it felt like yet another interruption because it had been more than a generation since they had left. Many of them had no memories of Israel. And yet Jeremiah reminded them of God's promise, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." God says, "I will put my law within you. I will write it on your hearts," which means we can take it with us wherever we go. Perhaps in exile, the people came to see the truth of Jeremiah's words, that God was with them, that God's love was in their hearts, that wherever they found themselves, nothing could separate them from God's grace. And this can keep us from wishing parts of our lives away, simply trying to get to the next thing, the next place. That even in the detours, we can discover what is sacred. That apparently, you can only understand certain things at certain times, that it is near impossible to absorb the meaning of poetry while sitting in your car at a red light. And it is so difficult to fully understand someone else's feelings or their experience by simply eavesdropping on a conversation. And we cannot understand the meaning of the words of Ecclesiastes until we have experienced the detours and delays of this life. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace, that we cannot fully understand the meaning of those words while holding a stopwatch in our hands. That we cannot see the thread of the love of God that runs throughout our entire lives until we experience those things. It was around the time of Passover when the disciples noticed there were some Greeks that were worshiping with them, that they had come to see Jesus. And it was unexpected. It was not what the disciples had anticipated. It was not on their itinerary. That the entire world was coming to see Jesus, those who represented people beyond Israel. And then Jesus says, "It is time for the Son of Man to be glorified." But what he described did not sound like glory, that unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This was, in many ways, a drastic interruption because it was not what the disciples envisioned or expected. They anticipated the Messiah to just restore Israel, not seeds and fruit. And when we plant a seed, we are forced to wait, like the interruptions of our days. But when a seed finally bears fruit, we realize time did not simply pass by, it was fulfilled. That throughout our entire lives, the thread that runs through them is the faithful love of God. That no matter where we find ourselves, God is holding us, healing us, and helping us. That there is a time to embrace interruption, to engage disruption, to listen to the delay, to take the detour, but we have to put the stopwatch down. We have to wrestle with the given moment. We need to look for seeds and anticipate new fruit. When we bought our first house, I, of course, had to buy a lawnmower and start mowing the grass. And when I started mowing the grass, I started to see weeds very differently. As a boy, when I would find a dandelion in the front yard, I thought it was quite magical. You could hold up that seed of clouds that was in the shape of a chimney sweep brush, and you'd blow it and watch them dance throughout the air. But when I started to mow the grass, dandelions were no longer magical. They were an enemy to avoid, like the interruptions of our days, the moments that we could never anticipate. But every now and then, I will drive by a large open field next to a stretch of the interstate that is full of wildflowers, with all of their vibrant colors. And I'll remember that the only difference between a weed and a wildflower is location. In my yard, they are weeds. Next to the interstate, they are wildflowers. That as we face the interruptions of our lives, perhaps they are wildflowers and not weeds. They just might be seeds that bear new fruit. Jeremiah says our faith is written on our hearts. And in the ancient view, the heart was not simply one's feeling. That today we might say the heart, oh, that's the place of our feelings and our emotion. But for Jeremiah, it was much more. The heart was the place of the emotions and our thoughts and our actions. It was all of who we are, that our faith cannot be separated from any part of our lives, which means in those interruptions, we can look for wildflowers instead of weeds, because the thread that runs throughout our entire lives is the everlasting love of God. Amen.